This is Tech News Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Google wants to be the winner in the race to develop a self-driving vehicle, and it may just have found the ideal person to lead the charge. John Krafcik was an executive at both Ford and Hyundai, and now is the head of Waymo, which is the self-driving unit of Google parent Alphabet. Let's find out more about John Krafcik from Wall Street Journal reporter Tim Higgins, who joins us from San Francisco. Tim, what exactly is Krafcik's role at Waymo? Is it to develop autonomous vehicles or to work with traditional car makers or to help Silicon Valley understand how Detroit works?
He's the guy that's been brought in by Alphabet Management to take Waymo, or to take the self-driving project, self-driving car project that's been in R&D for many years, and turn it into a business unit, a commercial enterprise that can make money going forward. And that is a complicated process that involves staffing up operational folks, partnerships with people in the industry, and part of that is creating relationships with automakers. Prior to Mr. Krafcik joining Alphabet, there'd been a lot of efforts to develop those kinds of relationships in the kind of the R&D sense. Now he's there trying to make something happen, to put a lot of their technology out in the world, either through robot taxis or potentially licensing it for personal car use or freight delivery or maybe even public transportation.
Too often in the past, Silicon Valley and Detroit haven't gotten along, and they've got to coexist to some extent. Isn't a big part of his job basically to try to forge peace between these two industries and trying to develop a self-driving car?
Absolutely. The Motor City is a place that is based and built on really 100 years of history. It, in a lot of ways, was the Silicon Valley of its day, creating the new technology, which then was automobiles. And one of the big things they did was mass production, the assembly line, and building a lot of the same thing for a lot of people that people could buy around the world at low cost. Silicon Valley is a place based upon breaking the mold, going fast, making mistakes, learning from them, and trying to innovate in new ways and think really outside of the box. And so there's a culture clash there. And Mr. Krafcik is steeped in the world of manufacturing. He began his automotive career at a car factory outside of San Francisco, which at the time was an experiment between Toyota and General Motors, and he learned about what it's like to be in a factory. He went to MIT and studied factories around the world as part of his work there. He really became kind of one of the foremost experts on this idea of lean production, efficient ways of making things. Then went to Ford and eventually became a chief vehicle engineer there. Which really made him, put him into the guts of how to make a vehicle. Then he went to Hyundai, and at Hyundai, he rose up to the level of CEO of the U.S. operations. It was a sales and marketing role. So he knows all of the levers of the automotive industry. And after he was done at Hyundai, he went to work for an online car sales website that kind of gave him a taste of the tech world. He's always been kind of a guy who's into tech. I talked to somebody who mentioned that that Mr. Krafcik was a big fan of watching Steve Jobs' keynote speeches and just observing and trying to suck in those lessons and apply them to the way he would give public speeches and stuff like that. Really interesting in tech, interested in tech. And so when the Waymo opportunity, then it was just kind of known as the Google self-driving car project, approached him, he was kind of at a point in life where he was thinking this could be exciting.
I'm speaking with Tim Higgins of The Wall Street Journal. You're listening to Tech News Briefing. Thanks for listening, everyone. Tim, Google began leaking out details about its self-driving car efforts back in 2010. It's also, I believe, at this point, put more autonomous cars out on the road for testing than other car makers. Let's talk about some of the problems Waymo's had regarding relationships with other automakers.
You have to remember the way that this project began at Google was really kind of a small group of young, a lot of them were men right out of maybe graduate school, who had this wild and crazy idea that they could make a car drive itself. And they'd had some success in creating maps at Google, which we now are ubiquitous in many people's modern lives. And they knew that that was a key component into creating autonomous cars. They had this kind of ideal situation in that the founders of Google, you know, created this like little world for them where they could go off and not have to worry about the constraints of the business world and just to see if the technology could work. They had milestones they needed to achieve. They needed to take these self-driving cars and show that they could handle complex situations and just kind of, if you will, geek out on this idea and chase it and do it as fast as they could. And that's a lot different than what a traditional automaker is mostly doing. These are two different worlds. And so early on, you know, our reporting showed that these young men at Google would kind of show up at these automakers and kind of say, hey, this is what we're working on. And, you know, maybe they weren't the most polished and, you know, maybe the automakers didn't quite know what to make of the technology. And in some ways, the idea of going from a human-controlled car to a robot-controlled car is a huge leap. And so maybe the more traditional way would do to put a piece of that automated technology in and slowly improve that and slowly evolve that over time. And eventually it would become more and more automated. But as Google started to learn about this technology and really getting some experience on the roadways, they came to the conclusion that they did not think it was safe to have a partially automated car on the road. They were doing testing, and they would see their employees driving to work with explicit instructions to pay attention to the roadway, that they were responsible for the car, but the car could drive itself. And these people started doing things that maybe weren't the safest. They were putting their makeup on, maybe they would fall asleep. And Google decided to pull the plug on that and start focusing solely on the idea of making fully self-driving cars. Maybe the car wouldn't even need a steering wheel or brake pedals, that the robot would do it all. It would take you from point A to point B, and that would just be its life. That's a radical idea for traditional car makers. And so there was tension there. And our reporting shows that even as the idea of self-driving cars became more prominent in society and in the conversation, whether it was 2014 when Google revealed a pod-like car that it had developed to test this technology, or in 2015 when it leaked out that Apple was working on some kind of car technology as well, and there was this great interest in the future of transportation. And I remember being at automotive shows or hearing from automotive shows where car executives are being pressed on this question: can you compete against Google? Can you compete against Apple? And the conversations between the Motor City and traditional automakers around the world and places like Google became perhaps more serious at that point. They had perhaps a vested interest to see if they could work together. Google wanted to get more of its technology on the roads to see how it would work with real people, with people outside of its organization. And automakers thought perhaps they could find common ground. But those negotiations proved to be strained, if you will, or didn't go as far as maybe they'd hoped, in part because it was unclear what both sides wanted or where both sides wanted to be in that equation of the business going forward.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tim Higgins joining us from San Francisco. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.